This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finedining podcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
Oh, I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finedining podcast. Okay, we ready to talk about Lincoln Brewster?
What, Rinkin Brewster?
Lincoln Rooster, the freaking haircut.
Brinkin' Looster.
Hey, guys, we're burning our best stuff.
I'm sorry.
We can't.
Hey, I'm rolling. I'm rolling tape.
I'll do it word for word again.
Okay, let's all say that again on air as if it's for the first time. Okay, let's start. Here we go. We listen to Lincoln Brewster, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
I want to see cats!
I wanted a yuck, everybody, and I didn't!
Hey,
I'm just killing.
Disgusting.
Okay, bitch, watch this.
I love Bazinga.
Jesus Christ.
Bazinga. Losers, in other words.
Oh, why don't you want to get in the bathtub?
Bazinga.
It's Sicario.
You got me straight tripping,
bro. Very familiar with, like, Calvinism as a concept.
Hey, what happened?
Pour it out. One week late, maybe one week late, for Mr. Fred Willard, one of our finest. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
We're here to have good Christian fun. Was Fred Willard a Christian?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. We decided.
Yeah. How could he not be?
It's Tinkerbell rules. No, the way it works, and especially as a young Christian person, when you wanted all your celebrity friends to be Christians, is if you just believe they are, then they are.
Also, you know, look at the evidence by how he has borne fruit in his life, and I've enjoyed many a tasty fruit from his comedy.
Do you guys remember truly when he J.O.'d and no one cared?
What?
There was a scandal where he was like J&O in public and he got caught doing
it. Lord.
I'm getting some of the facts wrong here.
But like in his car?
Yeah, was he in his car, Kevin? Or like a movie theater?
Like the Invisible Children
guy? We all don't do that.
Are you, Kevin, the J.O. police?
He is kind of the J.O. police.
What? No,
excuse me, Mr. Kevin T. Porter, it looks like you're about to. I'm going to have to shut this down.
Do you have a permit?
Pour some cold water on this situation.
The permits are just marriage certificates. No, it was in an adult movie theater. And he was 72 when he did that.
Oh, come on. I mean, like, what are you supposed to be doing in there? You know who else got caught doing that? Was Pee Wee Herman.
Paul
so
Rubens.
He's in good company.
Oh, yeah.
I think those are fine men, and I don't have any problem with that.
Well, you said the secret word. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, movies, music, all sorts of entertainment. And sometimes it's not entertainment. It's not a show. It's actually worship. And we're here to worship. And that's what we're going to do on the show. And we're not here to preach to you or to proselytize or make fun of your beliefs. We're just here to have fun. We don't want to make fun of you either. We want to say, yeah, whatever bullshit you believe is, you know, rational. Yeah, it was bioterrorism. That's why we're all in this situation. Wait, what's wrong?
A little bit of a personal note for Kevin there.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Ooh.
Should we leave? It's you.
No, we'll
and
just
Jeremy
give you some
leave.
Time here. Yeah.
No, all beliefs are valid now. All information is valid, no matter
oh,
the
boy.
Source.
Just getting right into Jerry Seinfeld zone right there.
What do you mean, Jerry Seinfeld zone?
Oh, you can just believe anything. You know, it's whatever. Just like old man comedian.
That's not, no. I disagree that that's an old man comedian platform is like that people are misinformed. I think it's, no, I think that's PC culture stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That said, I am dating a 17-year-old, and I didn't want to announce it on the podcast.
And he stopped riding the bus.
He stopped riding the bus. Let's introduce our special guest, who, in my opinion, still rides the bus, still drives the bus. He's the Keanu Reeves of this podcast. He doesn't go less than 60 miles per hour anytime he's on the show. Friends and folks, everybody, give it the hell up for Jeremy.
Jeremy Olsen.
Bazinga.
Bazinga. Guys.
I've never seen Speed.
By the way, let's take a beat. This is coming out on a very special day. We're actually recording this the night before it comes out. So we're on the eve of it. But the day this comes out and the day you, the listener, are listening to this, it's HBO Max launch day. Where Bada meets Bing meets Bang. Wow. HBO Max is here.
Finally.
Holy smokes. I really genuinely, this is news to me. I didn't know.
And and that's because, Caroline, I think because we haven't been seeing each other in person at all, we haven't gotten a chance to get into Streaming Wars stuff. And
we have so many threads that we haven't picked up.
Quibi?
They're all on the floor.
We haven't had a Quibi update in quite a while.
We haven't talked about Quibi at all. I have some things to say. Yeah, and all of my updates, my news, my calendar events. I don't know what they are anymore.
Jeremy
how
Olsen.
Do you not talk about Quibi?
How many streaming accounts do you have that you yourself actually pay for and you're not bumming off someone else's account?
Probably zero.
Truly?
No, I am paying for my Amazon. That is what I'm paying for.
Okay,
and
so like the most
bumming.
Evil company.
Yeah, the worst one.
Stable.
The worst one is getting my money.
Yeah, specifically because you told me off mic you like Jeff Bezos and what he's doing to this country.
Yeah, but again, I told you that off mic. I wouldn't say that I would vote for him for president on the air.
Not on the air.
But you will go on record and saying he has a normal and right amount of money, right?
That's right, and I've seen his penis.
He's a businessman. No, that's the thing. His nudes are out there, Caroline.
Yeah, check them out.
Do you know this?
It's like such a disturbing like beginning to my evening. It's like Fred Willard was caught jerking off and Jeff Bezos' pizza.
Whoa! It's delicious to Caroline. Freudian slip.
It's not delivery. It's the pizza.
Bezos sausage.
Extra sausage. My lord.
I imagine Caroline's like, oh, Nate, are you thinking what I'm thinking? She, you know, gives him a little sexy look, turns on the speaker, and it's da 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 da.
It's a pizza.
Alexa.
Play our song.
Pizza, pizza. It's just the Little Caesars commercial guy. Oh boy.
Ew.
Jeremy.
Wait, in all seriousness though, HBO Max, like, does that mean I get to watch Search Party again? Because I really like that show.
Yeah, I really like that show too.
It's coming back for season 3.
Yeah, wait. But is the new season, is it available tomorrow?
Yeah. No, not season 3. I don't know.
Oh.
But the other two are. It's going to be TBS, like that show. Adult Swim.
I really like that show. Yeah, cool.
Big Bang, West Wing, The Sopranos, Looney Tunes.
What so new weird. Stuff is coming out on there?
Well, they a lot of them they could not complete because of current circumstances, but one of them that they were able to complete is Anna Kendrick's Love Life, which is an anthology show. And what she goes on a bunch of dates. And let's just say she's a little unlucky. She's kind of a scrappy little nobody on the show, and she is unlucky in love.
It's my favorite.
I gotta watch
book.
That.
Yeah. And did you know she has a show on Quibi too?
Yeah, I did know that. She's our streaming queen. Stream queen.
I mean, call her a fish because she's jumping in all the streams.
Hey, okay.
I'm calling her a fish to her face right when I see her next.
I mean, we joke.
What's up, salmon?
But, you know, but here's the great thing about HBO Max. I do want to talk about this for another 10 to 20 minutes.
Fantastic.
Movies. That's the big promise of HBO Max. It's not their new crap. Everyone's going to have new shows all the time, whatever. But it's going to be the old movies you get to watch that are not available on the other streamers.
Wait, like what?
The WB catalog. A lot of them are going to be up there. You want to watch Titanic? Guess what? It's on HBO Max. You want to watch The Hobbit 2, Desolation of Smog? Guess what, baby?
Do I?
HBO Max.
I'm going maximum.
Got
Desolation of Hog.
Cover. Jeremy, I need to ask you the question that's on every listener's mind. We haven't talked to you since this whole thing started. It must not be named.
Yeah.
But I gotta ask you, buddy, what made you smile today?
Oh, that's the question you're asking.
That's right.
Wow, that really caught me off guard. What made me smile today?
We gotta know. We need a little, you know what? We need some good news. We need some good news. We need to profit off of the crowdsource work and then sell it for millions of dollars.
You know what? I can give it to you. I can provide, because here's what made me smile. Let me just make sure I'm getting it right, though. Okay. I watched this video today, and it's of Hillcrest College, and they're all playing the marimbas.
Ooh!
And it's six kids playing the marimbas.
Marimba? Caroline, he said marimba, not marinara. I'm sorry.
Marimba. not listening.
And it's them playing for like 4 minutes, and it's the happiest I've ever seen human beings do anything. They're playing so fast and so energetically. And then they'll all like, they also are having the best time of their lives. So they're going, they're playing, and then they'll like throw in a dab. They'll all scream and yell, kind of almost like, what do you call it when they're like the stomp? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Stomp. Yeah.
Just stomp? Are you talking about
like specifically, they do have like clubs in college that do it.
Oh, like yell leader
step,
stuff?
Step. It's called like Step Club, right?
Yes. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's it. Yeah.
But they are just playing the hell out of these things, and it makes me so happy. And they're like jumping over them.
Whoa.
And they're playing so fast. They're all starting to sweat, and their little hands are moving so fast.
I love that.
It's just the best.
That's awesome.
Look it up. It's only like 3 minutes long too, and it's worth the watch.
When you see someone in their element doing what they love to do, is there anything better than that? How you been? Are you're holding up okay emotionally, physically?
Oh yeah.
What do you do for exercise stuff right now? What's your?
Oh man, that's my biggest accomplishment this entire quarantine.
Wow.
Is that? Well, I as you know, I have some neck issues. Yeah. And so my chiropractor's office closed when this started, and I'm thinking, oh my God, how am I going to survive throughout the course of this thing without, you know, getting aligned, getting all cracked up. So I started doing yoga with Adrian, guys.
Oh, yeah. Really? I've done yoga with Adrian.
Yeah. And I've been doing it like every day. I've been killing
it. Holy smokes.
And it's the best. It's so great.
Had you done yoga before?
Never once.
Never once? And you started?
Never once. And I just jumped on.
Good for you.
I thought, I don't know. Let's shake this up. This is a weird time.
I love that. I think that's so terrific. I'm a big believer in, like, you're going to find a small thing right now that you thrive in that's new to you. And it sounds like yoga might be that. What a nice thing.
Yeah, it's definitely it. I feel great. And, you know, some of it I had to like really learn into, because yoga is both for your body and your mind, as yoga people know.
Oh, okay, and he's doing the rhetoric. Not good at the now. Second he's half. He's got all the talking points down. It's
no, he's
fine.
Correct. I do. This is scientific. Yeah.
That's right. And like, I'm bad at that part. So I'm trying to be, you know, receptive.
I did yoga for like 3 years before realizing like the breathing part, you're actually supposed to follow along with that and do that. And yeah, I was always like, this is a suggestion. Like, this is, that's like the whole thing is.
Turns out it's the most important thing.
It's the most important thing. And I was like,
you think it's
yoga
like extra credit, but it's
easy.
Not.
Yeah. I never got that. Like, when I would do it, I'd still struggle with the breathing. And I really like try to make a conscious effort to do in and do out when like they told me to, but it still didn't quite work all the way for me for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, you'll like you'll get out of sync like if you're more tired than the instructor is, or if they like forget for a second, but you start to know like, oh, when I do this move, I'm supposed to breathe in, so I'll just like get to that part, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't started figuring out till now, and I'm like 2 months into this thing.
Yeah, that's like, do you feel like you already have improved?
For sure, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's exciting.
Way to go, man.
That's my big win of quarantine.
I love that. That's so good. Yeah. If you can, I know. It's just like, it's like holding on to something for dear life right now. It's like, I can do it every day. I could do it every day, and it's good for me, and I like it. I can do it every day. And just like finding that attendance stuff, terrific.
Yeah, and it's really hard not to scream these things out right now. Like, there's so many people online being like, I cooked a thing. Look at the thing I cooked. Yeah. I did this, this, and this, and this, and it's cooked. Like, it's hard not to get excited about the one thing you're conquering.
Yeah, I know. Those people can be annoying. That being said, if you do want to check it out, I have made a highlight on my Instagram stories for Kevin Bacon, where I do cook and bake different things like cinnamon rolls or maybe French toast pecan cookies. So those are
I like
there.
It. I think it's nice to see food people make.
Yeah, no, it's great.
There's a whole industry around it, I'd say.
I haven't seen any of these baked goods on my doorstep, Kevin. I'm just saying, I'm not like that far away. You could just like drop them off and run away. You know what I'm saying?
I have not declared myself an essential worker quite yet during the pandemic. I would like to. Someone came to my place to drop off a mask and biscuits that he made for me yesterday. And in return, I gave him a bunch of cookies to give to other people for me. So that was a form of that, but he just wasn't on the way to your place. I'm so sorry. I know. They say dropping off stuff is like fully safe. And it's like the no contact, like on the doors, it's fine. I know I could do it. I just haven't.
I truly don't know what's fine and what's not fine. It's a quite the time.
If you don't know what's fine, just go online.
Hey! Just
read, do what I do and read everything.
Deep
and then
state.
Everything feels good.
Oh, is that why your face looks like that?
I don't know why my eyes are doing that, but it's because I'm so informed.
If you don't know what's fine, then just go
online.
I love that. Oh, good, wow. good. What
That's
a
great.
Terrific... approach to information. Yeah.
It'll
and then
you.
Go on until you feel better. And don't worry. If you don't think there's an endpoint, there is. Just stay online until you find
it. Yeah. You're not sleepy quite yet. So just go ahead and cram that info.
Just
so
20 more minutes.
Just go ahead. Read it.
Well, gang, I did want to talk about, before we get into the topic at hand, just briefly talk about the idea of church right now. Because as of a couple of days ago, churches are now essential businesses. That was officially declared at a federal level. Oh. So California, the state that we're all in, amongst other states, are allowing people to meet in churches at 25% capacity. And I saw this question on like our Facebook GCF Diving In group. Could you imagine yourself just never going back to church again after this? Like, how do you think this
or before this?
What's yeah, that? I mean, I wasn't really exactly like this. Attending regularly before.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, is this the straw where it's like, you know what? I'm good.
No, this was not the straw.
I could see that for some people, maybe. I mean, yeah. If you're at that point, but I was before that
being
point.
On the edge.
Yeah, I don't know like why that would be the thing that was like, you know what? That now I'm not done. Like, if every yeah. other inconvenience around church didn't keep you from, like, skipping, then this, I don't know if will be the difference.
What do you guys make of the order to make churches essential? It makes zero sense to me.
Like, how are they even going to do that?
The whole point of it, to me, is to have a thing where it's like, this is not exclusive, all are welcome, take in people, your neighbor, blah, 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 blah. And if the whole idea is like, okay, we got to cap it at like 14 people in every other pew or something, then it feels like yeah. anyone that would want to reopen fundamentally misunderstands the function of a church.
That's a pretty good point, because I think it also will definitely exclude a lot of the like even just marginally disabled people or like differently abled people yeah. or whatever. Like if everybody else gets together and they get left home, I'm sure that felt much like that before that as well. But yeah, that's a good point. My cousins that live in different states were talking about it, and they said that they have to book like a reservation for church before they go, and like reservations close after a certain capacity basically. So that is another thing. It was like, okay, so someone has to get up like early, you know, to like get a reservation to go to the thing that's supposed to be public and for everybody too. Seems rather difficult.
Why is church special?
That's what I mean. Well, I mean,
why is it different than everything?
You mean why is it declared an essential business as opposed to other things?
Yeah, I mean, like my parents are going to their church, you know, over a Zoom thing, and they're doing like Zoom Bible studies, and like, yeah, they're not going to the building, but they're still doing it, and I don't understand why why you have to go for it to count as church, or why does church get to do all this stuff before everybody else does?
Well, I mean, the core answer is different. The truth of it from like a politic perspective is just like, it's like an evangelical move. Cause it was by the president to say like all synagogue, mosque and churches are open. Don't worry. I'm still on your side, guys. Like that's a part of it. Like in the sense of like why anyone would feel stifled by it. I understand it and it is a bummer, but it's just like everything else. But I was reading, an article on it on the gospelcoalition.org, which is not a good website. And this guy, Brett McCracken.
Like by design or like, what's it like? It's still like a GeoCities website or?
Oh no, I don't mean from like an HTML design perspective. I mean like a pure content perspective.
There's
this guy, Brett McCracken, who is railing against like why we don't see church as essential and like why it's taken so long for people to declare it essential and why people aren't prioritizing it. I do want to read just a little bit of it to see how some of the other half is living, which is to say, he said, when I saw my governor's announcement that church gatherings won't resume until stage 3 of California's reopening plan, I was sad, not because I disputed the high risk, but because it underscored how low priority church going has become in contemporary Western culture. In California, churches are in the same reopening category as nail salons, gyms, and movie theaters. Nice to have luxuries we can presumably live without for a prolonged season. Churches are lumped in with entertainment options. It's telling that our society has decided we cannot live without essentials like liquor stores, marijuana dispensaries, and golf courses, but we can live without physical church gatherings.
You know, I'm with him on the golf courses, though. Close those golf courses, turn them into parks. I could see, like, if you were living in another state, it would feel so ridiculous. Of like, I've been going to Applebee's, you know, for like a month now, and you can't go to church because it's not in the same category for some reason. Mm-hmm. I feel like just California, we feel like so different, or these place where we live near a metro, because everything is like mostly shut down for us still, but all around the country, like people are basically going back to life as normal in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it definitely feels like in the last 7 days we've gone into fuck it mode in most of the country. Yeah. Where it's yeah. like, mm-hmm. I guess I'll die. But it does feel like that, right? Mm-hmm. Is it just mm-hmm. me? Does it feel completely. Like that? Okay, it feels like that to you.
Yeah, I feel like, I guess also because like restaurants opened back up in some of the counties by us, and it was kind of like, well, I mean, we're not that far. Like, why are they getting to have fun? You know, and all these things.
Yeah. So it just feels like it feels inevitable after.
Do you feel like your attitude around church has changed?
I miss it like I miss anything else, but I don't feel a particular entitlement to it opening again. I'm not like, oh my God. Like, I'm not enraged. I'm just sad about it in the way that like life is sad. I don't feel like an indignity against it.
Yeah. Would you go back at 25%?
No. Because there's no, the whole, because to me, 25% is just as good as a Zoom thing. Because you're still not taking full advantage of what that sort of gathering means at all. If it's like, at that point, it just feels symbolic, or it feels like a fuck you to someone else to go. I think like it doesn't feel like it's actually accomplishing anything. Oh man, the closing paragraph of this is, I also hope this season shows us that privatized consumeristic spirituality is not enough. Not for individuals and not for society. I do love the subsection of the culture that hates privatization when it comes to church. When it comes to faith and church, if you don't have like a vast amount of oversight and regulation how you do it, that's actually bad. And otherwise, it's very flippy. We need faith that is rooted in strong, serving, multiplying local church communities. The sort of faith that makes such a difference in its tangible presence that everyone notices and laments its absence. I have felt an absence of certain things in my life in the last 2 months, and a lot of that is connected to an absence of church, but I don't feel like it's worth death or disease. I don't feel that way.
Yeah, it's weird too, because I feel like it's a weird misunderstanding to be like, oh, it's because church is considered like an entertainment venue, but I think it's really just church is just like a concentrated large group of people, and that's why it's lumped in all those other categories, right?
Yeah, and marijuana dispensaries are not places where 500 people gather at a time and like all smoke together.
Yeah,
and hold hands.
A lot of, I mean, unless it's like a really rad dispensary, like a lot of old people.
You guys ever had a communion
blunt? It's
not blunt?
Super dangerous. Yeah,
that sounds rad. That dude writing that article could not wait to write marijuana dispensaries. That was
he loved
it. Like banged that out on the keyboard so fast.
That was the big word on his outline.
With lockdown stuff, Jeremy, and all the situation we're going through, has that affected any sort of picture in your mind of God or any faith stuff? Like to have this like this lack of control in our lives again be made so clear?
Yeah, it's, I think just the whole thing has just been really disheartening. Like just everywhere you look every day, there's something just awful and like really like faith shaking to either what you believe in humanity or just, you know, the community that raised you.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's just like whining and complaining and being selfish, and it's just a huge bummer. Like I bought online that some company's making these banners that said together we'll see it through, and people were like, oh yeah, throw this in your window, and then when people are like walking around, you know, they can see it through the window and it'll be nice. And I was like, oh great. So I threw it up, and I probably had that thing up for like 3 days because I don't feel together at all.
I know.
Isn't like, you lost belief I couldn't in the feel, message of the banner.
I did. I completely lost my faith in it.
That's so sad.
I was like, yeah, I this out of my so window. Sad.
I thought this story was going to end with like, and then our house got egged and I took it down. But it was literally you having a crisis of conscience.
It came from inside the house.
Yes.
We're not
completely
together.
Self-sabotaged.
Oh my God.
It's really sad.
Oh man. Oh, I get it though. I like that banner though. That would have encouraged me to see.
It's good. It's up in the back now. It's not in my front.
You could modify it where it's like together some of us will make it through.
Did you see like a particular neighbor that violated something and you're like, all right.
Yeah, definitely. That's it. Yeah, that was definitely it. There's this person across the street that most definitely like sells drugs, and she just keeps having like these just like rotating casts of people just in and out of there. And they're screaming at each other in the front and doing car work in the middle of the street. And there's not a mask to be found. And
oh,
I'm just like,
Lord.
Dude, Forget it. Together we are not.
Gracious. We are not together. I will make it together. By myself.
I know. I think that's one of the hard things. I wonder how many listeners relate to this too, in the sense of, especially certain friends and family members in your life, you can compartmentalize your certain ideologies and like, whether it be politics or just like how to live and how to be a person. It's just like, yeah, we don't touch that and it doesn't matter and we can like get by and love each other, whatever. But when every decision of everyday life is consumed with loaded import and politics of like, it is a political act to leave your house now, and that is loaded. Mm. So it makes it so you almost have to close yourself off so much from like, so it does narrow down to just like, what are you watching on HBO Max now? Like it's just like, yes. It kind of narrows it down to that. You can't really talk about your day because it's like, who did you see? Did you wear a mask? Like, did you go to the grocery store? What'd you do today? And like, if that has an offensive, if that's like an offensive signal to someone else, it just becomes untenable as a point of conversation.
Yeah, I was thinking today is like anything you're posting online or like any sort of social media post has to come with this asterisk. Like, oh, we did this neighborhood cookout. Oh, we're all social distance. It was social distance cookout. You know, you need to say it.
Like, don't worry, there's masks. They're just on the picture or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know it's difficult. I wanted to share something with you guys today that happened that I'm still thinking about. And let me hear what you're thinking. So I haven't been like in the office since this started, but I had to go take some photos of something today. And then when I got in the space, like, 6 or 7 of my coworkers, who I think have seen each other throughout this, like they've just had to work together, all were sitting in a circle, no masks, just like talking and eating with each other. And then I was just like feeling very awkward, like standing way far from them in my little mask. And then they all were like talking and making decisions, and they were all men. And also, so I'm like, okay, I'm this only girl like on the fringe. I'm not talking with them. I'm not being a part of any decision making, and they're all, so I have to like yell if I want to chime in or something. And then
classic
also
dudes.
Like at some point it just gets stupid, like I'm just sitting here on the fringe and like eventually I'm like having a meeting with them like from far away, and not, they're all just not even barely wearing a mask anymore. Mm-hmm. And so at some point it was like, well, I'm just going to be in this room with them. I just have to like just sit down and pretend this is all fine. And one of them, like, I know his wife probably got it, even though she tested negative and all this stuff. So it was like a real confusing dynamic. And like you said, like every decision felt so weighted. Mm-hmm. And then there was like this peer pressure of everybody else is just like flouting the rules. And also these are my coworkers and I like want them to respect me and also make me not feel like I'm being weird around them or something, or mm-hmm. like I'm keeping the rules, like tut tut, you know, to you all who are like going about and staying busy and productive or whatever. And it felt like if I do this now, like it sets this weird precedent for the rest of this quarantine that I'll just like show up in closed spaces with them if they ask me to. So I didn't know what to do.
Wait, are you saying that you did like eventually sit down with them, or you're saying you did keep your distance the whole time?
It was kind of in between. Like, I kept my mask on the whole time, but eventually I was sitting probably like 5 feet apart from my boss and just talking with him about stuff.
Even into that 1 foot.
Yeah, I know. I was like, come on, just scoot back a little. And he like quickly was like, oh, can I sit here? Right as he sat across me. I was like, I mean, I'm not going to say no. Like, what are we going to do?
So
it was like
saying,
a very
though.
Weird situation. And I was like, I haven't seen my family and I had opportunities. And I'm like with all of you, Han Yaks, so just like doing whatever.
That's gender loaded too, of course. Like that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Dynamic.
I know.
So no,
I've seen a friend. A friend came and like dropped off donuts for me, and that was like really nice because I was making fun of them on Instagram because they were kept getting donuts, and I was like, bring me some donuts, you got so many donuts. Anyways, they came over, and then it was like so weird because every moment is like there's like 5 thoughts to every little action. It's like opening the door, like, oh, do I pull my mask down? Or
do I tell you to put it on the ground? Or like, can you just pass it to me? And then we step away really quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. Really weird.
I'm sorry you went through that today, Caroline. That really sucks.
Yeah, not definitely, of course, not the worst thing to happen, but it was, I felt just so extremely awkward the whole time.
Well, it sucks that people wouldn't have the consideration of like, so obviously our baseline, especially in a professional context, not even like in a friend group that knows and loves each other on a personal level, but like in a professional context and setting where it's like, we're going to put consideration first and then make your own decisions. Rather than like, this is kind of what we're going to do and you can be a part of it, but maybe you're not a team player. That's like such a common thing of like.
Yeah, it was really weird. Like none of it was verbalized and it wasn't like, oh, Caroline, why are you standing over there? Or like no one.
Yeah, they didn't give you shit for it.
No, no one gave me shit. Yeah. No one like even pointed it out, but it was just felt so clear that like I just wasn't even the conversation because I was so far away.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny thinking back on it too, but it was just also like, oh, what am I
doing? I think it's great. I think you like literally stood your ground in that sense. It's fine to not compromise because you have someone that you live with and have to think about and prioritize too. It's not just you and it's not just devil may care. Like, if I get it, I get it. It's like you have other responsibilities in your life too. So I wouldn't feel bad about it.
Yeah, mind blowing. To be like trapped in your own consideration, like you're considering all those things, and then you're just like, what you're seeing is no consideration, and you're like, are people not? I'm spinning out over here.
Yeah. One of those many moments where you're like, am I living in a whole different reality as like everybody else right now? Like, have I been like a rule following dork this whole time?
But it is just like other people can make you feel so foolish so easily by just like, I was running around in my neighborhood with a mask on for like 3 days after
underwear only.
What's that?
For 3 days straight.
Yeah, I never took it off. Even in the shower, I was like, just in case. And would pass people not wearing masks. I'm like, I guess I'm stupid. I guess nothing means anything. Like it just,
if they're not, then like, what's the point here?
It goes to this real nihilistic place, but I don't want to like totally spiral and tailspin into that because things do mean something and it is important to grieve. It's just like, it's just hard to have the parameters for it. And something where it's like, I do feel a lack of like, especially like the rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I just feel like people are almost like so tunnel visioned on their own survival and lives that we're not weeping with anyone that weeps anymore, unless it like directly affects our lives. Or it's like, well, my cousin is a nurse and he's seen this stuff and blah, blah, blah. But otherwise it's like the thing, the virtue of that, that we were supposed to be good at. I don't know. I feel a personal failure on my part. Cause I do wonder if it's one of those things where it's like, if I do focus on this, then it's just like, no turning back or point of no return where it is like horrific in some way.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Like you're like, oh, we've lost our sense of empathy a little bit. And that's why people have started getting so loose on it. But also it was like people had to shelter themselves from some of the horrors of the news in order to like survive day to day and not be in like a puddle.
Yeah. I understand that too. It's just like, it's so complicated and we just need some good news. Is there any celebrity that can give us some good news?
He sold it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Man.
Sorry.
He sold it to CBS. For the price of his life on the cross.
Hey, yeah, I got some good news for you. His name's Jesus H. Christ. He's the Jim to the Pam of your salvation. Oh, good grief. Well, I'm glad
you know what this whole thing makes me want to do is listen to some inspirational music.
Like worship music?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should do that.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No. Let's give it a shot. All right.
As long as it's live.
Jeremy. Jeremy, I'm glad you're doing well with yoga and whatnot during quarantine. Yeah, you're crushing it. Can't wait to see your revenge body when this is all over.
Just you wait. No. Non-gianning this whole
yoga
thing.
Yoga is not for the body.
Okay, your revenge soul after all.
Thank
this
you.
Is over.
Oh my god, soul revenge soul. That is a show I would watch.
Shredded wheat, my soul.
Revenge soul. All right.
Someone like comes out with like a way better character than they had before.
I love that actually.
Actually, that'd be great.
But it's out of spite.
Just pitch that.
It's a lot of Christianity.
Just show their ex of like I'm nice now.
Yeah. No, I think that's a lot of the Christian faith, TBH.
I hope HBO Max is listening because we just got a new show.
Hey!
Stream it.
Okay, well, let's take a quick little break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
And you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like
feel as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I
first
agree.
Month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive in to this live topic. Come on, let's go. A real name of a real person, Lincoln Brewster.
So cute.
Lincoln Brewster.
Middle name Log.
Lincoln. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to fact check you, Jeremy. It is Lincoln Lawyer Brewster. I'm Shoot. So sorry.
Second middle All name, right. Punky.
Lincoln Punky Brewster, surname McLeod. Lincoln Lawyer Punky Brewster McLeod.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
So we talked about Jeremy probably went through a little bit of a frustrating process picking a topic for this episode because I did shoot him down 4 times in a row saying we already
Why?
Did it. We already did it. Oh, we already did it. We did that 2 months ago.
That's a bummer. Can I hear what they were?
It was Audio Adrenaline, that DC Talk album Free at Last, our third episode ever. And then WoW 1999, which is pretty much, we've covered almost every song already from WoW 1999.
That's crazy.
I know. Wow.
We got 99 down.
This show's been on for 3 years.
I had the tape of that. Like, it had all the music videos.
Oh, the VHS tape, yes.
Yes, the VHS tape. And I watched a lot of that. And
were any of them good?
No, of course not. Oh. But
no, Flood was good. Well, that wasn't 99.
Was the dancing good?
Yeah, the dancing's good. I like the one where Michael W. Smith gets chased around by a big Chinese dragon.
Yeah, yeah, that's Love Me Good. He's like in a bunch of Chinese restaurants. I do remember that music video. After going through all these other choices, we did land on Lincoln Lawyer Punky Brewster McLeod.
We found it.
And Jeremy, what is your relationship to Lincoln Brewster?
Let's see. I think this album came out in 2005 or something, right? Yes. So this came out my junior year of high school, and that's right when I started to play a lot of worship music at my church growing up. And I don't know what the connection was, but I think there was someone in my church that had a specific connection with him. But we played all of these songs on this live album, like in my home church. Like, they played all this stuff in church, and every like volunteer that played the electric guitar like tried to take a crack at his slick solos, like
his licks.
In big church, his hot licks. And I just heard these songs so much and so often, and I even played some of them a few times. Uh-huh. And so I became very familiar with him and his catalog.
Do you mean someone was like related to him, or like, oh, I know this guy? Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think somebody played with him before, or like somebody like was in a band with him briefly.
Oh,
I can't
okay.
remember.
Okay.
There's something. There was
yeah,
because
it feels like it
connection.
Has to be like a specific connection to like, you know what? This is my guy. This is the
it's
thing I love.
Be, right? Yeah.
Why him? Caroline, did you read the CCM encyclopedia about him at all?
No, I didn't. Drop me some quotes.
I do just want to, here's the book. I don't usually get a chance to show it off. But he does say, guitar hero turned youth-oriented worship leader, Lincoln Brewster, is pushing the frontiers of what the contemporary Christian market usually regards as praise and worship. Now, when you listen to this album, and the album we are talking about is, of course, All To You Live, do you feel frontier pushing? When you listen to it,
I called my cousin and I was like, you gotta hear this new sound.
It's your cousin, Marvin Brewster? An acclaimed studio guitarist, Brewster was selected by Steve Perry to accompany the former lead singer for Journey on his solo tour in 95. Blah,
oh,
blah,
fellow
blah.
Avant-garde artist.
This like just boundary.
This is the fifth wave of worship right here.
Having recently been drawn into a closer relationship with God through the witness of his wife, Laura, Brewster found the fame of being a rock star superficial and annoying. There were nights I remember...
Quickly look at a picture of him today.
There were nights I remember people grabbing at my legs while I'm out front playing a solo or something, he recalls. I remember nights just looking up going, God, I'm sorry. This is so silly.
Wow. I
Wait,
don't understand that at
having
all.
Having my legs touched while I play guitar silly. Right now sounds amazing.
Hey, you could do it with Nate.
I could do it with Nate. I'll do that with him later.
Yeah.
That's Mama, so funny. For him, doors. It was like, this is just a bacchanal. This place is immoral. I must ask forgiveness right now. Someone like touches my shoes
for leg touching. And maybe he like got addicted to cocaine or something, and this is the sanitized true. Version of it.
See, I don't know, but listening to this album, I'm like, he did not give up the rock lifestyle, because the audience is clamoring.
Not even slightly.
Now here's the thing, like, we haven't actually covered that much praise and worship on this show, like actual. Like, straight across the plate, this is a worship song. We've talked about bands like, oh, they kind of did a worship song on this, but like someone where this is their bread and butter, and they came up at the time where this becomes the most popular form of all this. And listening to this, though, I was struck by, I've never heard this many guitar solos on any worship album ever.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, for example, I do want to zoom to a song called All to You, which is the title track, and the guitar solo that comes at the midpoint. Mm-hmm. And to be
clear, I know it well.
There's a lot. This album has 1, 2, 3, 4 songs longer than 7 minutes long on it.
Oh my gosh.
That's a bit of a fat album in that sense. Let's see this guitar solo.
I'm giving it all to you.
So,
Jeremy, why? No.
Yeah.
So if you're in the congregation during this, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're just getting your face melted off.
Absolutely vibing. You're throwing your bra on the stage.
We out here vibing.
It's so fun. It goes on so long. It's so still going.
It's not even close to done.
Shit.
Jeremy knows this by heart. This is probably a great way to like really get your chops, though.
I have to cut it off. Oh my gosh. I mean, I will say this, out of the people we've talked about, he is the only contemporary Christian music artist that I know of that has his own edition of a Fender Stratocaster available for purchase.
Wow. Okay, so he's like really known for playing the guitar.
He's the guitar guy. That's what the encyclopedia said.
Like, he's the strength.
The guitar hero. And you hear it's all over the album. The opening of For These Reasons, which kind of sounds like a Top Gun deleted temp track. We gotta go get Goose.
Oh my god.
It's just so funny.
This is Highway to the Heaven Zone.
Yeah, totally. This is like what heaven sounds like.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
That song you played, the first one, I think All to You.
It sounds
All
like
All to You has a Jason Mraz vibe, right?
We rocked that one in church.
Yeah.
I bet you absolutely.
We rocked it.
That was on the night you needed to get everybody pumped up.
Yeah.
The leader had like a good message that night and a lot of movie clips, and it was going to be a fun one.
It was going to be a banger.
It was not going to be sex night. It was not going to be, I don't know, hell night. It was going to be like
fun
mission
night.
Yeah.
Like how to persevere in the race, which is like the youth group message of like, hey, you're fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Now, Jeremy, from a musicality perspective, how difficult were these songs?
The bones of them are basic worship. Mm-hmm. It is a lot of just like your standard worship chords and progressions. But, you know, a lot of the instrumentation, like his bassist is extremely talented. Like the drummer can really do some stuff. And, you know, he is like a studio accomplished guitarist. So the edges of it are impressive.
Yeah.
And
I will say too, from my perspective, like I'm a junior in high school and I just want to play the electric guitar so bad. And I'm playing cello and I'm playing so much piano and doing lessons and playing in youth symphony orchestras. And I don't want to do it anymore. I just want to rock. And so And my church was very like, we were, I mean, we're covenant, like, you know, pretty contemporary church, but very buttoned up, like musically. Like, we had the poor drummer in a box because he was, the old people always thought he was too loud. And like, we could not get.
See, you shouldn't meet in person. You can turn down the volume of the drummer.
But this, like, some of this stuff was so exciting to me to be playing in church. And I was like, oh my God, we're finally having some fun here. We're finally livening up these Sunday mornings.
Loosening up your tie, putting on a fedora.
You know it.
Freaking rocking. Yeah.
I was there for it.
Right. And it is an interesting case study of some of these Christian careers as the back door to the thing you actually wanted to do. So I don't think Carmen cares about anything, but he really wanted to be a Vegas showman guy. And he wanted to be like a lounge singer. And then he just kind of did Christian music to do that. And Lincoln Brewster just wanted to be John Mayer, I guess. Is that the comp?
Yes.
I think it's like so much of this was kind of like John Mayer trio-y in the sense of like.
Oh man, you should hear two albums after this. He really John Mayer's.
What? He dates Jessica Simpson?
Yeah, really, the next two albums.
That's the most famous thing John Mayer's ever done is date Jessica Simpson.
In my book, it is.
Now, and for anyone that may not be familiar with him, as I was not that much, although apparently I've sung a lot of his songs, probably his most famous one is Everlasting God. So
and we're all naked now.
I wish. Well, this is a song I played a lot in the worship band I was in college, which was like, I really had fun in that band. I have nothing but good memories of that band, even though I like did not attend that church, but all those people in that band were like very sweet and very fun. And some of them are still friends to this day. But yeah, I feel like that got sung a whole lot. And the other one I recognize, which is not his, but it's the Hillsong one.
Oh yeah.
It's you I live for. One more time. Every day. It's you I live for.
I'm gonna get those marimba kids on this.
This is some VBS shit, bro, right?
Oh, hell yes.
You've saved me, Lord. I give all that I am to you. Every day I will be a light that shines your name. Be a light that shines your name.
Caroline, with the delay, your clapping is so funny. I just.
This would absolutely get us all rocking a little bit on our feet.
Okay.
Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
But yeah, like almost half of the songs on this album, he did not write himself. So it is just like, I think it exists for the sake of virtuoso musicianship in a lot of cases.
Yeah, you want to hear him shred. There were so many of these songs, like, as they started playing, I was, like, shot straight back in my memory to when the worship leader, like, introduced a new song that he really loved, and everyone had to, like, And then by the second chorus, I have tight harmonies. I'm like feeling something, you know, I'm like trying to be a good sport. And, you know, I love the song and I'm trying to like find the meaning and all it is. It's just like, I'm amazed, 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 amazed. That's most of one of his songs. No.
That's so funny. The first time they drop that new worship song, like, and it's a hot one.
Okay.
You're like, start to figure it out.
Yeah. It's one of these things where, like, I feel like we do spend a lot of time on the show, too, talking about the lyrical content of, like, oh, this is interesting, or actually, this is kind of problematic, or like, oh, I think this reflects an interesting issue that Christians go through that I feel distance from. That. Whatever the case is, this is just like, you rock. This is great. I love
Keep it up.
These are the most we've never had lyrics more unworthy of any dialogue or discourse.
No, it gets worse the more you try to mine it.
Still champion.
Yeah, it's just something. I think these songs, like a lot of worship songs, they're best as like a chant, you know, like the vowels and seeing them together over and over really loud. Like that's the feeling you're going for. You're not looking for words in this situation.
Right, which I don't even hate. I don't even hate worship music. And I like some of it, but only in the context of being there and being in a room. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it is like...
Is that why they're all live? Because just sung in a studio would sound like so awful and sad.
Yeah, that has to be it.
Right? Like you have to hear these people. There's one, oh, in the first song where there's one woman who is just going like,
ah! Wait, do you have a minute mark for it? I want to find it.
Oh, shoot. I almost wrote it down. I was like, Kevin's got to have this pulled up. It's all to you. It's definitely during like a few of the instrumentals, but it's like toward the like last third.
Last third? Okay.
It's like several times.
Let's see if we can find her. Let's have a little patience and see if we can find her.
We should talk about this part.
Oh, I can't hear
there it. There it is.
Oh, you heard it? Oh, damn it. Yeah.
That'll cut in well. I promise. I heard it, though.
It was that so strong. I was like, oh, this away. Is what it's for.
Yeah, it's kind of like a, it's almost like a Tom Morello thing or like, isn't that like a completely. Record scratch or something?
Yeah, that wah pedal on there.
It's so funny.
And it's a bummer because I think, oh gosh, now I sound so defensive. But I feel like this is like, if it's not a Methodist or Presbyterian church, then this is people's conception of what music is like in a church. It's like a guy just going like. and it is, I guess.
Conception is much more acoustic than this. Like this is. Yeah. You know what? Actually, this is breaking down, I think, musical barriers now that I think about it.
You're flipping on that? You think it's boundary pushing?
Yeah, I do.
Frontiers are being pushed all around us all the time. Now, I did say it was uninteresting lyrically, except for maybe one song, which is a rewrite, a parody song, almost, you could say, of an existing song, of course. And of course, I'm talking about not Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, but the Leonard Cohen Lincoln Brewster collab, Another Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah, baby.
In which Lincoln Brewster heard Hallelujah, a famous song from the movie Shrek. That's how we all know it. It's been some other TV shows, whatever.
Rufus Wainwright song.
Yeah, the Rufus Wainwright, the Jeff Buckley song, Hallelujah. The Imogen Heap song, Hallelujah. And
the Glee song, Hallelujah.
He heard it and he was like, you know, Leonard.
Not quite pushing it far enough.
Not quite. So here
not
it is.
Enough for God.
And he was like, I think I can make this work for us.
Donkey.
Guys, let's get in the swamp.
I love you, Lord, with all my heart. Given me a brand new start, and I just wanna sing this song to you. to you. Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift. My heart and soul are praising hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Everyone's singing along.
Don't worry, he friggin' shreds on this one too.
Well, I know that you're the God above. Filling me with grace and love. Now I just want to say thank you to you.
Oh, thanks God.
You pulled me from the miry clay. You've given me a brand new day. Now all that I can say is hallelujah.
An abomination, right?
I can't believe he's like allowed to do this.
And I checked, it was before Leonard Cohen died.
Before he wrote that song. Oh, boy.
Unreal.
I have seen him.
Where's the guitar solo?
Seen him perform this?
I've seen him perform this live.
Oh. Wait, when did you see him live?
Atrocious. Go to jail, Lincoln. No. This is not what we want. Well, he's just like...
He's working so fucking hard on that guitar.
The amps are on fire.
Oh, the drum kit is spinning.
Okay, oh Lincoln. It's so funny.
Yeah, I got to see that with my own two eyes, guys.
Jeremy, wait, what was that like?
Tell us about seeing him live. You saw him at APU,
yes.
Right?
Yes, I went to Azusa Pacific University, and I can't remember what year it was, but he did like a chapel. One of the like morning chapels, he did it, and he played for just like a straight hour.
Oh my
there was no preaching. It was just all Lincoln.
Awesome. It was Lincoln time.
He played that song, and it is as it seems.
It was his Gettysburg address.
Yeah,
his namesake.
Not a dry eye in the room.
Jeremy, you doing this while you sang electric guitar? Really sent it. I really sent it home. I'm surprised they didn't do a drum solo in the middle of that too. Why not?
It's so funny to hear certain covers of certain songs where it's like you like a song and whatever the original song is, and you're like, I like it for this reason and this reason, and then an artist is like, yeah, I like that too. But it's like, oh, I don't think you like it for the reasons I like it, like, at all.
Right.
It's like someone making, like, I don't know, what would that be like? It'd be like someone making a remake of an old movie and be, like, in fully misunderstanding, like, the meaning or the intent behind it. I mean, he literally changed the lyrics, but...
It's like he took a Van Gogh and he was like, oh, I freaking love finger painting. I'm going to go ahead and do my little twist on it. These colors are great.
That was
great colors.
One of the more offensive things I've heard in the last couple of months, and it's been an offensive couple of months.
It's been a really offensive couple of months. Lincoln Brewster. Oh, it was not all right, sir. How was his like in between patter? You know, like his little mini sermons. Were they good?
Oh yeah. He did lots of that. And I remember them just being just like the most like cookie cutter, like basic worship pastor stuff that they all say. You know, some of them just, I mean, it's all that just like they're playing low and they're talking and they're saying, you know,
And I really want you to focus on the next words of these songs. This next one we're going to play, I mean, just think about the Lord every day. It's you I live
for. Every day it's you I live for.
Yeah, and then we do it. And then we do that's it. And that so was funny. Like all of his, he would just like segue into everything.
I know. That blows my mind that he wasn't saying some sort of like crazy, edgy, invasive, crazy shit, because that's kind of how his music is. So to me, that was a right. surprise.
It's in your face.
Yeah, the frontier. Where was the frontier pushed in that pattern?
That's yeah, what he was I deep yeah. in the city.
I mean,
it wasn't. It was more in his songs. I mean, there was one song that he played. It was, I think, I can't remember what it was, but he was like, "You guys want to do some jumping?"
I love that.
Screams.
I love.
And then they start playing, and he jumps and wanted everybody to jump, and so we're just jumping
that's
the
fun.
Entire time.
That's a great time.
It's so weird yeah. because, and especially to conceive of him as like a rock star of contemporary worship music, because he is such a cornball. It is just yeah. It feels like a bag of flour listened to a lot of Jimi Hendrix and then farted out some worship songs. Yeah. And that's what we're listening to. And obviously, like
a
with
corn
technical,
star.
What's that?
A corn star.
He's a corn star. That's right. Caroline is real proud of herself right now.
Jesus loves corn stars. And Kevin, you sent me a photo of him. Was that a recent photo?
Unreal. Yeah, I'm gonna have to screen share this bitch. Yeah. Excuse my language, but
he asked me if this was my king.
Yeah, I said, "Is this your king?" Okay.
But what he's wearing in that photo was basically what he was wearing when I saw him.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that is essentially what he looked like.
Oh
at
God,
APU
Gumby.
When he performed.
Rock and roll Gumby.
Gumby. Oh. It's because of the haircut. It's just from a different.
Wait, Jeremy, the whole time I've been listening to this music,
it's
I had
guy.
A very different picture in my head.
What did you think he looked like?
I don't know. Just like, you know, curly hair, actually. Looking at that tiny thumbnail in Spotify. Oh my God.
You didn't think Uncle Fester with a patch of grass on his head?
No, I didn't think I was listening to a like leather razor blade.
Oh, I love it. And I really was. I was looking for stuff. I watched interviews, I read interviews. And man, just nothing to hold on to. It was just like, oh, my conversion story. It was just pat. It was just down. He is the pristine thing. He's a dad.
Yeah.
He loves his wife, Laura. He just makes his songs and goes to the bank on those like CCLI residuals from youth groups across the country. Like there's yeah. so little here.
If you really yep. want to know what he thinks, you got to listen to the licks, I think.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
It's like, out,
it's
like what's really
dude,
inside.
Wait, something else I want to say about this. Because this is, I need to give you the mindset
right.
of where I was when I was enjoying this. Because I grew up in this, you know, very buttoned up atmosphere where the music specifically, you know, was very... You know, I mean, you guys were there for it too. It's just very straightforward, you know, not too crazy. People aren't even really expressing themselves. I mean, really entirely that much. Like sometimes during an offering or something, we would have like, you know, a few people that you don't normally see play music go up and do like their own song or something. And it was like, oh, that's really touching. But that was like, even that was really like very rare. And also, you know, it wasn't a full expression. Mm-hmm. And me watching this, like a lot of my, like I went to APU to be a, I mean, I guess I wanted to make like Christian movies, like originally.
I didn't know this.
I guess I had that, in my mind, like at the very start. I mean, I quickly ditched that. I mean.
Or were they Christian movies or movies like by Christians?
We're Christians
yeah,
in a movie
Christians.
Crew.
Not a yeah, no, I was
Christian movie.
I didn't want to make Fireproof.
Whoa, you'd be so lucky to make Fireproof.
Wait, what was that, Kevin?
Didn't you made one with a girl with Dawson, an old friend of mine?
I did. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she was in one of my student films. Yeah, which had no ounce of Christianity
oh, okay,
whatsoever. but I remember like almost. What I appreciated from his ridiculous shredding was like was like, yeah, you can also be very talented and like show off your talents, and that can be enjoyed as well. Like, you don't have to like do the like Christian roadmap. You know what I mean? Like, my talents can only be glorified, or like I can only be valuable, you know, with whatever God has gifted me by doing it in this way. Like, so many people that I was talking to from my home church when I was going, like, oh, I'm going to go study film. They're like, oh, great, you're going to make Fireproof. Like, that's what they thought yeah. I was going to do. And yeah. I couldn't want to do that any less. And I was just like, yeah, sure. Like, that's what everyone thinks you're going to do with the talents you're given from God, you know, mm-hmm. quote. So this a little bit was just like, yeah, this dude's just like shredding it up in like yeah. 3 minutes into a guitar solo, and it's like the church is liking it. This is different, yeah. You know?
Like, it was apparent that he wasn't like only showing a very like humble sort of musicianship, where it was like, oh, I can't go too far outside of the boundaries, because then I'm definitely glorifying myself. Like, yeah. It's obvious at that point or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. But he
and,
was like,
you know,
yeah,
it may be true.
It may be true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may be true. But I almost just like to look at it. It almost just like evened the scale for me. I was like, oh, interesting. Like, I don't have to just do the roadmap stuff. Or like, there's someone doing it.
That's a salient point, because I think it kind of goes back to what you were saying in the beginning of this conversation about you just enjoyed watching those marimba guys play because they were having the time of their life. And mm-hmm. and that thing that we were talking about of, you just want to see people do what they were made to do, even if it's not at all for you, but like people who like thoroughly enjoy the thing that they're doing and seem to find a lot of joy in it and have passion for it, whatever the case may be. So he was an example of that in a way that didn't feel compromised. And yeah, like maybe yeah. Maybe that is kind of a roadmap for other people.
Yeah, it's a weird first example for my life when I think about it now. Like, clearly I had not been to very cool concerts before this. You know
I was
what
gonna
I mean?
Say, like, there's a lot of CCM, you know, that can yeah, isn't quite Presbyterian, you know?
Right? Like,
but
I've gone to many
got
concerts.
I get that. You know, you just
that are
you
like
can't,
inspiring. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't but, help what you were dealt.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's right. Like, okay, this person did not compromise craft in that area of playing, so maybe I don't have to compromise craft in whatever I'm doing and still live the Caroline. Okay, now she's making a movie. She was shredding her guitar. Now
first
she's
word,
digging
shovel.
A ditch. now she's a cop now. She's shooting people. Okay, now she's
she shot three different people.
Oh no. But the police. Hey, Caroline, did I tell you that I'm recording all these videos on for Zoom?
No.
Well, I am. No, that's I really like that perspective, Jeremy. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
that does
I get that.
That does make word. It more personal and meaningful it's, on some level.
Yeah, it's very funny to think about where I was at during this time, because yeah. I was a different human being.
Well, and this yeah. is such a cold take, but it's just like how insanely, especially 20 years ago or 15 years ago, whenever it was, how insanely powerful media is. It's like you just see something. It's like, oh, I can do that. So when we talk about like diversity and queer representation, like other regular Caroline, I thought you were doing the film thing again for me. Oh, get punched in the face.
It's a mob movie.
Yeah. Oh, Goodfellas.
Oh, right.
Wait, is that a second service? We play charades and we don't describe what we're doing. Oh, The Godfather.
Or The Departed.
Or I think it's sex time for Caroline, because it's like a pizza pie.
That sausage, oh yeah.
Oh, baby. I think it's time to rate the album. We'll give it a thumbs up or thumbs down or space between. Holy toast. Holy roast. Or the space between. By the way, when we talked about doing DC Talk, you said, oh, their first album. I'm like, this one? Because their very first album is the one that Heavenbound is on, which I don't think Caroline's
really?
Even heard that song that we've heard that clip of over 134 times now. That's how many episodes of this show that we're on. This is episode 134. And happy 134 to us all.
Happy 134.
I'm honored.
Yeah. I would like to
listen to that album at some point. But Caroline, we'll start with you, you little punky Brewster.
How do you rate Vanilla? Like, where do you put that on the scale?
Wait, Vanilla is good and is a flavor.
Vanilla is a flavor. It's a common flavor.
Yeah, but you need Vanilla. We will not be replaced.
Okay.
Whoa, big Vanilla fan.
You're
here.
Screaming that we need Vanilla. You should not do that.
Ooh.
Okay.
Nerve pinched.
I'm just saying from like an ice cream perspective, if you check out Breyers, they have French vanilla, natural vanilla,
look
creamy vanilla, non-dairy vanilla, and they're all vital and essential. And anyway, I just hear this rhetoric all the time. Go ahead.
Taylor Swift? Because look what you made him do.
Speaking on behalf of vanilla artists. I mean, it wasn't like horrible. It was like nice. And I think for sure, if I was in the room with Brewster going off with his hair and everything, I'd be like having a lot of fun. And I think I'd really enjoy it. It's so hard to rate like live worship music as like an album, you know? Yeah. So I'll give it a space between, you know, I think that's right where it belongs.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. Space between.
How about that? We turn to Jeremy.
And I think I like that Mraz song a lot.
Oh, yeah. I'm yours, God. I'm sure he rewrote that on the next album. I'm yours, parentheses, God.
For me, well, I've already kind of shown my cards here.
A little bit.
I did strangely get something from all of this. And, you know, I had a lot of fun at the time playing the songs and listening to the songs. It's so insane to look back on, and looking at him now, you're like, ouch, my eyeballs. And like, he called his son on stage and he jammed with him,
Levi.
Oh boy. Yeah.
And there's, yeah, it's just so much that of course it's like roast land, but for me it's a space between.
Wow, space between. Well,
oh, I'm surprised I didn't get a toast.
Yeah, I don't want you to feel bullied into not giving him a toast.
No, I can't. But I can't fully toast it. I cannot.
Well,
I'm held back by the hair. That's,
wow, that's the first time this has happened on the show where someone's hair got in the way of the rating.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's really superficial.
I mean, I understand that.
Take a good look.
I completely understand that. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to roast this guy. No.
Kevin.
No. Worships. Wow. There's like one. There's one song that kind of worked, but it's only because it's "Great Is Thy Faithfulness," which is like you can't. It feels like bullet. It feels like foolproof in that sense. It's like the IKEA furniture of worship music. It's like, yeah, you can put it together. You'll be fine. It's not like a Wayfair or something. But I was looking for a reason to be compelled by this, and I enjoyed getting zoomed back into. Youth group, Kevin Porter in the worship band, little pants falling off while shaking his little tambourine, his little butt with it. But
why are your pants falling off?
It's a long story. It's they were
Velcro. His hands were occupied.
They were Velcro, and I did them wrong. Okay.
Velcro pants?
Wait, the pants were Velcro.
Yeah.
Are you 3 years old?
No, I was 12.
Did you make these horrible pants?
No, they were Old Navy.
Wait, so your homemade Velcro pants were falling off?
No, they weren't homemade.
You shook them off.
No, they were from Old Navy, and they were bright orange. No, 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 no. I didn't do
loops,
it on.
Poppity pop, go the loops and hooks.
No, that's not what happened.
Like a little 10-year-old burlesque dancer.
Oh, pop.
He had a little fan.
God with my 10-year-old ding-dongs coming out.
I'm not into sports, but I'll give you guys a halftime show. Gracious. Holy roast for me. All right, go to @ChristianFunPod. Give it a roast, a toast, or a space between. Stay inside, be safe, and yet by mail or ballot.
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Ballers.
I gotta update that. What am I doing?
I haven't heard the last part yet.
I know. All right. Ballers. Now it's time to dim the lights and light the candles. And I think it's time for yet another hallelujah. The hallelujah that is us lifting up Everything.
It's pretty amazing that Hallelujah didn't drag these ratings way down. Yeah.
It's incredible. Incredible. I was appalled. It was like, do you know that video of when Taylor Swift did the cover of September, and there's this girl playing it for, I think, her mom and maybe her mom's friends or aunts or something, but it's all black women listening to Taylor Swift do a cover of September, and they are so upset looking. They are so pissed off, and the girl is cackling laughing. Oh, I can't recommend that enough.
Oh, that sounds good.
Speaking of what made me smile, I was just thinking about that today, and it made me smile. But we're here to lift up our social handles and anything that's getting us through these unprecedented times. And we'll start with Caroline.
Jeez.
Did I say that word, Caroline?
No, that was fine. you could shred your guitar with me at Caroline's Farts everywhere online. Mm-hmm. And I would like to lift up second season of Homecoming on Amazon Prime. It was really great. Janelle Monáe, so fun. She's got the smoothest speaking voice.
Oh, she's incredible.
In Hollywood right now. I mean, this woman is unbelievable.
She
looks like she's made of plastic. Like, she's just so smooth, so pretty. It's great. It's great to watch.
She's amazing.
Yeah, great actor. And then I will lift up Carrie Fisher's book, Wishful Drinking. That was a good time. I like to read it. She's a big punster.
Oh, you finished it already?
I did, yeah. Oh, it's a short... I mean, it's like 14-point font, double-spaced. It's almost just an essay, but it's a good time. It's a good book.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, ladies. You know, as I always say, the future is female.
Women. Yeah.
Women.
Women. Bro. I get it.
Not them. Bro.
Know some?
Keep going, girls.
You do you. We turn it to Jeremy Olsen.
You can see photos of my brand new Lincoln Brewster inspired mohawk at Jeremy P. Olsen.
Don't do it. The quarantine. Platforms. Don't do
it. Gotta get the height on it. That's important.
My new leather jacket. My golden guitar.
Does he have a golden guitar?
Yes. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. That's his Stratocaster.
Oh, that's his, like, oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's his guitar. I also want to lift up, of course, Caroline will be on board with me with this, Animal Crossing.
Hell, y'all, fucking yeah, let's talk about it.
This whole podcast feels like branded content for Animal Crossing for the last 2 months.
My island, Fang Island, is popping off.
Fang Island is gorgeous.
Hundreds of hours of work into it.
It's so nice. It, like, truly... Truly, Jeremy, it inspired me to go back to my island and shape up. Like, I was like, this has gotta go. This island is dusty. It's disgusting. There's no cafe. There's no tiki bar. There's no excavation site. I need to clean up my act, and I really did.
It's so telling of these times that compliment almost brought me to tears.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You deserve it.
I also
want to
lift up. I want to lift up the 1975's new album, Notes on a Conditional Form.
Oh.
I love them so much.
Okay.
They have quickly become one of my favorite bands.
Wow.
And their new album just rules. They do so many weird things. And he's a great interviewer, too. If you ever Google his name, listen to some interviews. He's a very heavy-thinking guy, and I like it.
Cool.
Okay. The 1975 does carry on Brewster's legacy in that sense
of rocking out.
Yeah. No, of heroin addiction.
Oh god.
Just kidding.
Rocking out with their Velcro dongs out.
Hey,
the dong wasn't
it.
Velcro. You guys are you're not even listening to me. It's clear.
Whenever I hear that ripping sound, I know Kevin's walking up.
A heavy walk.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I rewatched a movie I really enjoy called Out of Sight with a young Jennifer Lopez and a middle-aged George Clooney, who's been middle-aged for like 30 years. But wow, what a fun, sexy time that movie is. So
it's a sexy movie.
Watch that. What's that?
It's a sexy movie.
Very sexy.
I guess, how could it not be with those two stars?
Well, and she's unbelievably good in it, and he's at the peak of his hotness in a lot of ways. Even though he looks phenomenal as an older man, he's like, it was like right at their crest in 98. It was nice. It was a good time. Mm.
You saying the Clune dog has lost a step?
No. But I'm just saying, like, Pete Clune dog. I mean, speaking
time of... Time to take him out behind the barn.
Boy, I've been drinking a lot of the Clune Dog's tequila over the course of this quarantine. I'll tell you what.
Casamigos.
Yeah, that's that. Right. Mm. Yum, yum, yum. Delicious. Drinking like juice.
That's nice. You've been dropping some nice, like, money on a good tequila.
I don't go
good
to bars. I go to the grocery store. You got to go top shelf.
Can't get top shelf. I'll have what Mr. Clooney will have.
You can follow us everywhere at Christian Fun Pod, patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun every week. Every Friday we put out a new episode. And if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, we donate $1 to charity. This month's charity is all of them. Just kidding. It's your local food bank. It's whatever the local food bank is that you're at. We're donating to ours. Donate to yours. Yay. Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us on the show, buddy.
Thank you for having me. I'm always, always very honored.
Jeremy, such a pal.
Stay safe. Get me
back to that island.
Keep shredding
that. Come back to Fart Empire whenever you like.
We'll come back to the Empire.
Okay, great.
And there's nothing left to say except for an off pot's people said.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm gonna need to listen to it again, unfortunately. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Oh, no. Oh, that Velcro's going to pop.
Oh, no. You shut up.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.